Welcome to another edition of the BunnSports.com podcast. I'm Jacob Bunn, and I'm joined by the college football professor, and we are finally ready to begin another college football season. And those of you who visit BunnSports.com frequently know that's what we specialize here, is coverage of college football and the SEC in particular. Professor, it's been a great off season. I hope you've been well. I hope you've had a nice summer. But it's time to lace it up once again, kick it off, and I couldn't be more excited. Next week is SEC Media Days in Hoover, Alabama, and that kind of is the unofficial beginning of college football time here in the South as we look toward another big-time college football season and SEC season, 2015 edition. This will be the 24th playing of the SEC Championship game in December, so we're looking forward to it.
You know, Jacob, I think that a lot of people would say that there's not anything in sports any more exciting than SEC Saturdays on the football. There's just some tremendous excitement. There's always enthusiasm. The teams, the fans, the stadiums are always just really hyped up for the games. And so we can't wait to hear the cheers and to see the conflict taking place on the field.
And the SEC, they have reason to cheer because it's been a pretty historic run of success of late, right?
If you want to take a peak-sized look at the SEC, after having 7 national titles in a row, the SEC's gone 2 years without one. Now, since 2000, the SEC has won 8 national titles. Alabama's won 3, Florida 2, LSU 2, and Auburn 1. So I guess we're looking to see who is going to step up and be the new leader in the days to come.
Well, and with the college football playoff edition last year, it was obviously a different dynamic. Alabama made it to that playoff, but again, came up short, as you mentioned there, against Ohio State as they went for their third straight title. Well, one thing that happens during the offseason is we have coaching changes, and whether it's head coaching, we had one head coaching change in the SEC, and that was Florida, of course, got rid of Will Muschamp, and Jim McElwain comes in and replaces him to head the Gators. But what a lot of people sometimes undervalue are coordinators, but they are extremely important in the SEC. We saw Lane Kiffin last year, the difference that he made with the Alabama offense and others. You got some pretty interesting numbers about the coordinator turnover this year in the SEC, and I think it's going to be pretty interesting to watch how it plays out.
Yeah, Jacob, you think about this fact that out of the 14 teams, 12 schools will be breaking in new coordinators. Alabama and Ole Miss is the only one who does not have a new coordinator. And when you stop and think about it, there's a lot of star power coming into those coordinator positions. I guess if you were really looking at it, you'd say that if there's an all-star group out of all of these new ones that are coming in, you'd probably have to put John Chavis, who has left LSU and gone to Texas A&M, as kind of the star of the group. But then you've got Jeff Collins going from Mississippi State over to Florida. And then you got Will Muschamp going from Florida to Auburn. And you got Barry Odom, who's new defensive coordinator at Missouri. And also, I guess you could say this is SEC light, Gene Chizik will be the defensive coordinator at the University of North Carolina.
Yeah, you're right. And I'll tell you another one that I've got my eye on, too. As Georgia potentially makes a run this year, Brian Schottenheimer, and everyone in football world knows the Schottenheimer name, of course, Marty Schottenheimer, former coach, head coach in the NFL. I'm interested to see how he kind of revamps that offense. We've seen NFL presences like at LSU. We saw Steve Kragthorpe come in and some of the things he's done, Lane Kiffin at Alabama. I think you're right. Oh, I think those are some great names, and I would agree with you. John Chavis is probably the most intriguing move to me. But it's also hard to undervalue head coaching experience that Will Muschamp has. Of course, we've already seen what he can do recruiting-wise for the Auburn Tigers, but how can he get that Auburn defense, because it was abysmal last year, under Ellis Johnson. But I tell you, another position that's very important in the SEC, not just your coaches, but also your quarterbacks, and there are a few stars returning this year, but there's also a lot of inexperience and uncertainty for some teams when it comes to the quarterback position.
Yeah, Jacob, I think there's about 10 teams that will be breaking in new quarterbacks. And I guess you'd have to say that Dak Prescott is probably leading the field.
Sure. No, I would definitely agree. I think Prescott's the star of the league, probably in more ways than one. But You look at the LSU situation, the Alabama situation, a little different from Auburn. Auburn knows who they're going to go with, and it's a new quarterback, but I think they're comfortable with Jeremy Johnson. But the quarterback is going to be a question mark for some teams.
I guess one of the most interesting has to be Georgia, and the fact that they went outside the conference to bring in a new quarterback, or at least they brought him in, whether he's going to be the starting quarterback or not. But, you know, you take Alabama, they're going to have a new quarterback. But, you know, they got a lot of talent. They got four or five guys that are really talented quarterbacks. So just because they're new doesn't mean they might not be fruitful and productive.
No Hunter Mason for the Dogs. No Blake Sims for the Tide. Both of those departed last year. Another one that's interesting, Bo Wallace leaves Ole Miss, and Ole Miss has to replace him. South Carolina's got about a four-way competition right now for the quarterback position. Vanderbilt has that same thing, although I think Johnny McCurry will probably end up starting there. And then what is LSU going to do? A lot of people think LSU might have a decent year this year, but they've still got the Harris Jennings back and forth there. There were some rumors for a while about Braxton Miller, but those don't seem to be true. But a lot of quarterback uncertainty. But I think the one that I've got my eye on the most is that one in Tuscaloosa, because I think Alabama's quarterback position could determine how far they go this year if they were to get to the college football playoff. Jacob Coker sits in there, fifth-year senior. We know what he did at Florida State, or what he did in mop-up duty, really, for Jameis Winston. You've got some other quarterbacks down there, but they haven't seemed to establish that guy.
Yeah, that seems to be the problem, Jacob, that no one has just really stepped forward. Now, I guess you could say Arkansas is pretty good shape. Yeah. I mean, they may not have what people might consider as an all-star quarterback, but he's a good, solid quarterback. But he's going to be helped out by having two outstanding running backs and an outstanding tight end to go with him.
Brett Bielema's system is always going to be very comfortable for the quarterback, because you're not going to have to win a whole lot of games with your arm. Matty Mock at Missouri, another guy that is returning, be great. Patrick Toles at Kentucky, if indeed he wins the job. I know there's some question about that, but I expect him to when it's all said and done. So my question, I guess, as we look at these quarterbacks, Dak Prescott, biggest story, I think, as a quarterback, and some people think Mississippi State's going to finish seventh in the West with Prescott coming back, and I think that's just a testament to what they're losing around him on the offensive line, as well as Josh Robinson, the bowling ball running back last year. So my question to you is Prescott going to have a decent year this year? Is he going to have a good year? Can he help Mississippi State compete?
I'm wondering if he will be as effective this year as he was last year. But going into the season, you have to say that he's at the top of the heap. But we'll see how long he stays there. In my opinion, if you think about it, there are times that Matty Mock at Missouri looks like a really all-star quarterback, but then there are times where he looks like he doesn't. So the question is, does he step forward and take that leadership role for the conference as well as Missouri?
The quarterback position is the most important, and there's no question about it. And you look back at here's a comforting little statistic, though, for those of you who are fans of teams that are breaking in a new quarterback. If you look at the Heisman winners, the national championship teams that have been produced by the SEC, first-year quarterbacks have done pretty well. Johnny Manziel, we've seen Cam Newton, we've seen A.J. McCarron, we've seen others do quite well. Even Tim Tebow, I think, as the first year as a starter at Florida, won as a quarterback. So it can be done, and we'll see this year as the quarterback develops. The SEC East is another storyline that I have my eye on this year. The SEC East has been down. I mean, it has been down for the last better part of a decade. Florida, Tennessee, the names that you recognize have been non-competitive when it comes to the SEC championship. Georgia has kind of ruled the roost in the East. They come back again this year, uncertainty at quarterback, but they have Nick Chubb and some playmakers around their offense. The question I have to you is the East going to be better this year as a whole, and do you just see Georgia once again winning it?
Well, I think it will be better, but when you look at the fact that you just wonder if Vanderbilt's going to be much of a competition, and then you look at South Carolina, some reason, Steve Spurrier may pull them together, and they may do a lot better. But on paper, it looks like South Carolina's going to struggle. You got Florida. You know, they lead the league in new coaches, new head coach, new defensive coordinator, new offensive coordinator. And so we really don't know what to expect from them. But you can't you just really don't expect them to come out of the chute real fast.
And we talk about Tennessee. We talk about Georgia and Florida. And Tennessee is another name that a lot of people have doing something this year. I'm not sold on Tennessee. I can get sold on Tennessee, but I'm not there yet.
And I guess I'm doing the same thing we've done the last two or three years, thinking that Missouri won't be at the top. But
how unfair is that? They've won it two straight years, and here we just discard them and save them for last. But you're right. Until Missouri gets knocked off, how can we not say that they have a good shot at doing it? But I think I'm with you. I don't think the East is going to be that competitive this year again. I think Georgia can get into that playoff. They have a strong enough schedule. You look at who they play. They play Georgia Tech out of conference. They play Alabama and Auburn from the West. They've got enough strength of schedule. The question will be, can they how many can they win their games? But I don't think the East is going to produce it.
Well, Georgia's going to have do they have a lot of firepower in the the offense. They've got a good offensive line. They've got Nick Chubb, and they've got other running backs, so they're deep at running back. But they really have they could have a very, very good defense. They got some outstanding talent on defense. Maybe a linebacker tandem there that's about as good as anybody.
No question. Well, if you checked your calendar at the beginning of this podcast when I said the college football season is about to start, don't worry. It's not starting tomorrow. We have almost 2 months worth of coverage to give you before the football season begins, and the professor and I will be breaking it down. We'll talk from everything from the most impactful games each month in the SEC to some players that are returning that are stars, that are outside of the main quarterback positions, that might be off the radar that you might not expect, as well as the newcomers in the league. We'll be talking about this over the next few weeks. SEC Media Days is next week, as well as other leagues. The Big Ten, of course, won the national championship, so we'll talk about them and much, much more on the podcast here as we get ready for the 2015 college football season. And then in late August, right before the season kicks off, the professor and I will give our predictions on who's not only going to win the SEC and play for the SEC championship, but who will also be in that four-team playoff and going to Glendale for all the marbles in early January. So, professor, it ought to be a great year. The next 5 months are going to be really fun.
It'll be really good.
We'll be glad to share it with you here at BunSports.com. Again, this is Jacob Unn, the college football professor for the BunSports.com podcast. More previews straight ahead, so stay tuned. We'll see you next time.